There we go.
Thank you. Recording. Okay. Good morning. Today's daf is daf Tezayin, and we were on the very bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis. We are at the last line. So we have another lesson here from Rav Chama, the son of Rav Chanina. Very bottom here of the page on Tesvav Amud Beis. V'amar Reb Chama b'Reb Chanina. Reb Chama, the son of Reb Chanina, said, "Lama nismachu ohalim l'nachalim." The verse says in Parshas Balak, "Ki nachalim nitayu," like rivers that in Parshas Balak, the verse says, Kinachalim nitayu, like rivers that were established. Kiganos alei nahar, like gardens next to a river. Ka'ahalim nata Hashem, like ahalim that God has planted. Now, the literal meaning of the verse, ahalim is a type of tree, the aloe tree. But the Gemara is interpreting the word ahalim as tents. We know that Yaakov Avinu was called Ishtam, a very wholesome person. Yoshev Ohalim, who resides in the tents. So what tents was Yaakov living in? Rashi says the tents of Shem Ve'ever, the Beis Medrash, and the Beis Knesses, the shul and the place of learning. So what does the verse mean when the verse says, like a set river, like the tent of God? So that's what Rav Chama b'Reb Chanina asks. Why are tents put next to rivers? Why is the Beis Medrash compared and linked to a river? The Chassid, as it says, "Kinachalim nitayu," like rivers that were set. "Kiganos alei nahar," like gardens on the banks of a river. "Ka'ahalim natashem," like the tents that God has set. Lomar lecha, this is to tell you. A river takes a person who's impure and lifts him up from impurity to purity. If someone's impure and he's tovel, he goes to the mikvah, he immerses in the river, he becomes pure. Af ahalim. So it is with the tents of learning Torah. Ma'alin es ha'adam, they lift up a person, mikaf chova, from the side of guilt, to the side of innocence. And as commentators explain, in order for the immersion in the mikvah to work, you have to go in with the whole body. You can't go in with leaving a finger out, leaving a hair out even. The whole body has to go in. So if a person immerses himself in the yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, in the learning, he's fully, fully there, he's fully devoted, and he's learning with the whole heart, the learning transforms him like the mikvah transforms a person. The learning makes him into a different person from the side of guilt to the side of merit. Okay, now starting another topic we learned in the Mishnah. Hakorei lemafreya lo yatza. If a person reads words of any sentence of Shema out of order, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. So instead of saying, Al mezuzos beisecho visharecha, he said, Visharecha beisecha mezuzos. Anything like that would not fulfill the obligation. Then the Mishnah says if he read and he missed a word, and he realizes, oh, I missed a word, he has to go back to where he missed and start from there. So a story, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi have kokachin lognana l'Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi were tying the chuppah for Rabbi Lazar. So they were arranging the chuppah where Rabbi Lazar was going to get married. Amar lehu, Rabbi Lazar said to them, Adahachi v'achi, so when you are busy, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, the authors of the Gemara, when you're busy tying my chuppah, Ezel v'esh milsa de be'midrasha, I'm going to go listen to something that they're saying in the Beis Medrash. I'll go learn for a little bit. V'esi, then I'll come back, v'em lehu, and I'll tell you what it is that we learned. Azal, so he went to the Beis Medrash, v'ashkecha, Letana, and he found an expert in Brysos, to Katani Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, who was teaching the following Brysa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. The Brysa says, Kara, if a person read Kriyat Shema Vita and he missed a word, Ven Yodel Eichanta, but he doesn't remember which word it was that he missed. So now It depends. Ari, could you just get the door? Yeah. Thanks so much. It depends where. Emtsa Perek. If he had missed a word in the middle of a chapter. So he knows that in the middle of a chapter he missed a word. He doesn't remember which word it was. So Yavzal Rosh. So you should go back to the beginning of that chapter. Bain Perek Leperek. He knows that he finished the chapter, but he doesn't remember which chapter he finished. Did he finish the first? Did he finish the second? Yavzal Perek Rishon. So then he goes back to Vayim Shema. And if Binksiva Luksiva, if he knows he said Uksavtam, but he doesn't remember which Ksiva he said. Was it the Uksavtam of the first Parsha or the Ksavtam of the second? So Yahzul Luksiva Rishon, he goes back to the first one. Amler Rabbi Yochanan said, to this Tana, this expert in Brisos, Lo Shanu, we didn't learn that he goes back, Elosh Lo Pasach, B'Laman Yibriyim Eichem, that he didn't begin the third chapter. But if he knows he began the third chapter, and he said, L'Laman Yibriyim Eichem, Abba Pasach B'Laman Yibriyim Eichem. So if he's in that third chapter, right up to the word, L'Laman Yibriyim Eichem, at that point he doesn't have to go back, because Sirche Nakat Va'azil, the routine is going to just take him all the way to the end. You're always used to it. You always say it. He's going to just take him all to the way to the end. Asa, so Rabbi Lazar came back to where they were preparing the chuppah for him. Amalu, he told him, listen, here's a chiddush. The Mishnah says, if you miss a word, you have to go back. But if you remember that you got to Laman Yerbuyim Eichem, we lived in a Brisa, you don't have to go back because at that point it's so routinized and everybody's used to it. It's on autopilot then. And then you don't have to go back. Amalu Levi said to him, Even had we only come just to hear this one thing, that would have been enough for us. Had we just come here to hear this one idea, that already would have been enough. Besides the big chesed that we're doing of preparing the chuppah for you, this already would have been enough. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah on Tazayin Amud Aleph. Now we're going to learn about we've learned before, how much kavana do you need during Kriyat Shema? So we saw one opinion is you need to know what the words mean all the way through. Another opinion is just the first paragraph. Finally, the halacha is just the first sentence. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what's the law when somebody finds himself in a place where it's going to be hard to have kavana? He's a worker. He's picking fruit. And he's standing on the top of a tree. Or he's a construction worker. And he's standing on a pile of stones building a house. So it's hard to have kavana here. So what do you do? Do we tell you have to get off? Go down to the floor, then say Shema, or maybe you can say Shema up there. What about Shmona Esrei? Says the Mishnah, Ha'omnim, craftsmen that are working, and now it's time for Kriyat Shema. Korin, they read where they are. Berosh Ha'ilan, the top of a tree. Uberosh Ha'nidbach, or on the top of a building of stones. Why? Because Kriyat Shema only needs Kavana for one pasuk. So even though these are not places where you can have Kavana, how much can a person concentrate when he's nervous about standing on the top of a tree? But for Kriyat Shema, all you need to have is Kavana for the first sentence. So for that, he can do it. But they're not allowed to do this for Shmona Esrei. Because Shmona Esrei, you need to have a lot of Kavana. You need to ask God for mercy. So to have a lot of Kavana when you're scared, because you're at the top of a tree, or on the top of a building of stones, a construction site, you're not going to have a lot of concentration. So there, you have to go down in order to pray the Shmona Esrei, even a worker. All right, talking about Kavana. Chassan, a groom who's getting married to a virgin, he's exempt from Kriyat Shema the first night because he's not going to be able to concentrate even on that first sentence because he's thinking about consummating the marriage and the mitzvah of the consummation. Now, they used to get married, as we learned in Masechta Ksubos, on Wednesday nights. So let's say they weren't intimate with each other on Wednesday night, and they weren't intimate on Thursday night. So do we still say he's preoccupied? Yeah, we still say he's preoccupied. Ad Matzah Shabbos, until Matzah Shabbos, Imlo Asa Maisa, if he hasn't yet done the act. Once he does the act, he's no longer so preoccupied, and then already can reach Shema. However, even though we said that a groom is so preoccupied with his thoughts of mitzvah, that he's exempt, there was a story with the Nasi, Rebbe Gamliel, Shanasa Isha, when he got married. Kara Laila Rishona, he read Shema on the first night. Amrlo Talmid of his students said to him, Nimatana Rabbeinu, but didn't you teach us our teacher, Shachasan Patami Kriyat Shema, that a groom is exempt from Kriyat Shema? Amrlo said to him, it doesn't matter. I'm not listening to you to deny myself accepting the yoke of heaven, even for one moment. And as the Hasidim explained, he said, listen, you're right in terms of law. but I can't control myself. It's to say, to accept the yoke of heaven, that I can't stop myself from doing. I have to do it. Okay, let's see the Gemara now. Craftsmen, people working, they reach Shema, even if they're standing at the top of a tree or at the top of a building of stones. Now, Shemona Esrei they can't do because Shemona Esrei needs more devotion, more concentration. So for Shemona Esrei, they need to come down from the tree. However, if the tree that they are pass these gemaras down, if the tree that they are standing on, gemara brachos.
Brachos too.
I don't think so. That's a regular brachos. This is a regular brachos also. If the tree that they're standing on is a very sturdy tree, the olive tree, the fig tree. So those trees, they have a lot of branches. A person's not afraid when he's standing there. So therefore, they can pray Shemona Esrei when they're at the top of those trees. Shar kol ilanos, but all the other trees, an apple tree, a pear tree, and an orange tree, yordan lamata, they have to go down and stand on the floor, umespalim, in order to pray the Shemona Esrei. However, yeah.
Actually in a tree, standing on a
yeah,
branch.
Yeah, standing on the top of a tree, yeah.
Not a scaffold.
Correct, correct. In the tree itself. Now what about the Baal HaBayis? What about the person who owns the tree? He owns the field. He's the one who hires the workers. So for him, it's different, because he can always go down. A worker, really, it's not right for him to take off so much time from work for prayer. But the Baal HaBayis, nobody's telling him what to do. He can always go down. So Baal HaBayis, benkach u benkach, even if he's on the top of an olive tree or a fig tree, which is a sturdy spot, yored lamato mispal, he has to go down to the bottom to pray Shemona Esrei. L'fishein daitum yishevas alav, because he's somewhat distracted on a tree. He's not so focused on the prayer. So he should go down. When it comes to a worker, so being somewhat distracted, we let it go, because it would be wrong for him to come down. We want him to do his work fully. But a Baal HaBayis, where it's fine for him to come down, we tell him to come down. Ask the Gemara. Rami le Rav Mari bred Rav Shmuel bred Bas Shmuel Rava. Rav Mari, who was the son actually of Iser. Iser was a non-Jew. It had relations with Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel. And then he converted. So normally he's called Rav Mari bar Rachel. But here he's called Rav Mari. He did convert, he did.
His mother was Jewish.
That's right, but what happened was that the father later converted. But because the father had impregnated the mother before he was Jewish, he keeps, the child was referred to in the halacha, in the Gemara always, as Rav Mari, the son of Rachel, of the mother, or Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said to Rava, Tanami Lodin Mishnah, Ha'umnin, the craftsmen, Korn Baroshin, and the Rosh Nidbach, they can reach Shema when they're standing on the top of a tree, or on the top of a building of stones. Alma, apparently, lo bai kavana. So Shema doesn't require so much concentration. Or meaning, but I'll challenge you, we learned, HaKorei Shema Tzarech Shechavenes Libo, someone who reads Shema needs to be concentrating. Shemaz, it says, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel. Ulahalanu Omer, we have another verse that says, Haskes, pay attention to Shema Yisrael and listen Israel. So you have to put attention. So Malahalan Bahaskis, just like there, you have to have concentration, you have to be paying attention. Afkan, so to the Shema Yisrael of here is Bahaskis with concentration. So that's a question. How can a person be reading Shema when he's on the top of a tree? Ishtik. So Rava was quiet. Amarle, so Rava said to Rav Mari, Midish Mi Lachbaha. Maybe you heard something about it. Amarle, he said, yeah, I did. Ach Yam Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes explained. When they reach on the top of a tree, they can't be doing the work. So they have to stop the work when they're on the top of the tree, concentrate, and read Shema. So the Gemara says, how could you say that? We learned this earlier. Beis Hillel say you can read Shema when walking around, you can read Shema when standing, you can read Shema when laying down, you can read Shema when you're doing your work. Answers the question. Answers the Gemara. Low question. It's not a question. Haba Parak Rishon. Our Mishnah is saying the first chapter. The first chapter of Shema, you have to concentrate. You have to stop the work. When Beis Hillel say you can be saying Shema even when you're doing the work, Haba Parak Sheni, that's a reference to the second chapter of Shema, where you don't need to have Kavana for it. Tana Rabbanu Lidin Abraisa. Hapoalim shayosin melacha etzel balabais. Workers who are doing a job for an employer. Korin kriyat shma umevarchin lefanei alacharea. So even though they're not supposed to take away so much time from their employer, but as a Jewish employer with Jewish employees, he has to allow them to read Shema and to say the brachos before and after Shema. Another thing he has to allow them is ochel pitzan, to allow them to eat their bread, umevarchin lefanei alacharea, and to make a blessing before and afterwards. Umespalin tfila shel shmona esrei. And when it's time to pray the shmona esrei, they can pray the full 18 blessings of shmona esrei. We know that we're going to see this later. There is an abbreviated form of Shmona Esrei. We had it back on Daf Gimel, that Eliyahu HaNavi told Rabbi Yossi he should have prayed the abbreviated form of Shmona Esrei because he was traveling and he didn't want to stop people along the way. So the abbreviated form of Shmona Esrei is just seven blessings. The three first blessings, the three last blessings, and then the 12 blessings of requests become one paragraph. Each of them is like four words. So a worker doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to pray the Avinenu Shmona Esrei. He can pray the full Shmona Esrei. And an employer has to give him the time. But you can't allow a worker to go down to be a chazin in front of the community, because that's already too much time. And the poskim, I see here in the footnote, that the Aruch HaShulchan points out that a worker who goes to shul to daven, he's not allowed to stay for Chazaras HaShatz, to hear Kedusha, to respond to Kedusha. He stays just for Kedusha, then he leaves. Because, again, he's not allowed to wait. He's not allowed to spend a lot of time. He has to work for his employer. And therefore, a Kohen who's working, ain't no sin kapeim, they can't stay in shul long enough to say Birkas Kohanim. Because as we learned, they have to leave right after Kedusha, and that would be too much to take away from the employer to go to shul and to stay for the whole Chazaras HaShatz. Asks the Gemara, how could you say that a worker prays a full Shmona Esrei, and that's okay, but Tanya, we don't in a Braisa, Me'ein Shmona Esrei, that workers pray something which is like Shmona Esrei, but they don't pray the full Shmona Esrei, they pray the Havinenu prayer. Rav Sheshes answer, Lo Kash, it's not a contradiction. The Braisa that says that the workers pray a full Shmona Esrei, that's the view of Rabban Gamliel, who's going to tell us in about a week and a half that you always have to pray the full Shmona Esrei. This that said that workers pray the Havinenu is Rabbi Yoshua, who holds that everybody can pray Havinenu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua, if it's Rabbi Yoshua, my iri apolim, why is it only workers? Afilu kol adam, anybody can choose to do that. Elos, you're right. Edi, Rabban Gamliel, both are Braisa, and the next Braisa, they're both the view of Rabban Gamliel. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan bosan bischaran. One is when they're getting paid. They're working for a wage. If they're working for a wage, they don't have a right to take off time to daven a full Shmona Esrei, but rather they can only daven the Havinenu Shmona Esrei, the seven blessings. The kan, whereas the braisa that says that they should daven the full Shmona Esrei, but they just can't stay for after Kedusha, that was bosan besudasan. They're getting paid just for their meal. They're getting paid very minimally. They're just getting paid for the lunch. They're working for lunch. So if that's all they're getting, working for lunch. So then the employer has to let them daven also. Okay, they can daven, full davening. They don't have to stay in shul the whole time. They leave after Kedusha. But at least the full davening. Now that's the resolution. So as the Gemara of time, we're going to embrace this way as well. Hapolim shayosim melacha yisra balabayis. Employees who are working for an employer. Korin kriyat shema, they read shema with blessings before and afterwards. Umespalim, and they pray in abbreviated Shmona Esrei. Vochlim pitan, and they eat their bread. Ve'em mevarchim lefaneh, they don't make the blessing before Avamotzi lechem min haaretz, because that's not biblical. Avam mevarchim lachareh, but they do have to make the blessing afterwards. What blessing? They don't make the whole Birkas HaMazon, they just say shtayim, they just say two blessings. Ketzad bracha rishon ketikuna, the first blessing of Hazan is correct, the full way. Shnia, the second blessing, is an amalgamation of the second and the third. The Poseach and Birchas Haaretz, he starts with Noda Volka, V'chol and Boni Yerushalayim and Birchas Haaretz, and he includes Boni Yerushalayim in that blessing. And then he doesn't say the fourth blessing because that's only rabbinic. Ahmed Varmamun, when is this true that he has to abbreviate his benching and he drops the blessing before and he abbreviates the Shmona Esrei? That's Bosan Bescharan. That's a worker who's getting paid a wage. Aval Osan Besu Dasan, but if a worker is hardly getting paid, he's just working for the meal. Or even if he's getting paid a proper wage, but the employer is also eating with him. Then Mevarchim Ketikuna, then he recites the full Birkas HaMazon. Okay, we are almost at the very bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph. We are six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah taught us, talking about Kavana, a chaslan, a groom who's marrying a virgin, is preoccupied, he can't have Kavana, he's tarred by mitzvah, he's thinking about the mitzvah, and therefore he's exempt from reading Kriyat Shema. Chaslan patur mi Kriyat Shema. The verse says, V'dibarta bam, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, v'lechtecha b'aderech. You should say these words when you're sitting in your house. Prat losik b'mitzvah. That excludes someone who's busy with a mitzvah. He's not sitting in his house. He's sitting in God's house. Then we learn another thing from the fact that it says, and you'll say these words when you're walking on the road. Prat l'chasam. That excludes a groom. He's not walking on his road. He's walking on God's road. Since he's walking on God's road, he's thinking about what he's going to do for the mitzvah of the consummation of the marriage. Therefore, he's exempt from Shema. We can't remember from here. Our sages have said from the second lesson of Tarid b'mitzvah, hakodes is habasula. If someone is doing about to do nisuin, about to fully marry the virgin, patri is exempt from kriyat shema. Es almana, but if he's doing nisuin with a widow, chayiv, he's obligated in kriyat shema. That's the same as a widow. My mashma, how do you see from these words that if he's busy with the mitzvah, or preoccupied with the mitzvah, he's exempt? Rav Papa, as we saw earlier, Papa says, ki derech, because it says, uvelechtecha baderech, when you're walking on your road, baderech. It says, be like a road, maderech rishus, just like a road is a person doing something like that, which is optional. Avachanami rishus, so too, if he's on his way to do something optional. So the Gemara says, why do you say that? Miloskin into Gazal Advar Mitzvah, why don't you say that a road is also where he's walking to do a mitzvah, like walking up to Yerushalayim for the Shalosh Regalim, or walking to redeem captives? And even so, Hashem is saying you should read Shema. So the answer is, if so, as we saw earlier, the Torah should have said, you should speak about them, when walking. Why belechtecha? My belechtecha? What is to be taught to us by saying, in your walking? Shema, you know, that's to say, belechas. If it's your walking, then you're obligated in Shema. But it's not. If it's not your walking, it's the walking of a mitzvah, then p'tires, then you are exempt from saying Shema. If that's the case, my yiriya konis sabsula. Why do you only say if somebody's marrying a virgin? Afilu konis salmana nami. Even if he's marrying a widow, or as Gabriel's case, marrying a divorced woman, also he's doing a mitzvah. It's not lechas didach. It's not his own walking. He should be exempt. Answer the Gemara there. He's not really so distracted. Hachatarit. In regards to marrying a virgin, he's very distracted. He's thinking about this all the time. And he's nervous, so nervous he can't have kavana. Achalotard, but when he's marrying a widow or marrying a divorced woman, so he's not so distracted. So in a second, even Shumtirt, if the issue here is that when someone is very distracted, he's thinking about other things, he can't concentrate. So there are other things that are very distracting. Let's say he has a whole boat full of merchandise and it drowns. So that also is very distracting. He's very upset. He became poor suddenly. Why did Rabbi Bar Zavda say the name of Rav Avel? Somebody who loses a relative and he buries him that day and he just started Shiva. He's obligated in all the mitzvahs. He has to read Shema. He has to daven. The one thing he doesn't do is the day of the passing, which is also the day of the burial, he doesn't wear a tefillin. Because he has ashes on his head, and the Torah and the Navi describes tefillin as glory. Glory, pear, is the same letters as Afer. So he who has ashes shouldn't be wearing pe'er. Shenamas, it says pe'er chavosh alecha. It says that Yechezkel was supposed to act as a non-mourner, even though he had lost a relative. So he was told, so you wear your glory, you wear the tefillin, implying every other mourner should not wear tefillin. So the Gemara says, so you see, a mourner is certainly distracted, yet he has to do all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That means he has to say Shema too. And you're saying distraction exempts from Shema. I mean, the answer in the yeshiva, there are different types of distraction. There he's distracted, but he doesn't have to be distracted. There's no mitzvah for him to be distracted. He lost his money, so he doesn't have to be upset. He could have tremendous faith that it's all the tovah, it's all for the good. Nebuch lost a relative. He also doesn't have to be distracted. He can have tremendous faith that the soul's in a better place. But here, when he's marrying a woman who's never been married before, there is a mitzvah for him to be intimate with her, and he's distracted for the mitzvah distraction. So therefore, that exempts him, because it's not included in the words, belechas tidach, you're walking, it's walking of mitzvah, and therefore he's exempt from saying Shema. All right, going on to the next Mishnah, which teaches us another thing about Rabbi Gamliel, Rachatz Laila Harishon Shemesa Ishto. So his wife died, he buried her, and that night, after he had buried his wife, he bathed himself. He took a hot bath. Amalo Talmidov, his student, said to him, I don't understand, Matan Rabbeinu, you've taught us our teacher, Sha'avel Aser Lirchotz, a mourner is not allowed to wash himself. Amalahem, he said to them, Eini Kishar Atam, I'm not like other people. Istinisani, I'm very delicate. My constitution is very delicate. For me to not wash myself would be a source of tremendous pain. And when the law is that a mourner not bathe, that is that a mourner shouldn't have the pleasure of bathing. But for me, bathing is not a matter of pleasure. It's just preventing tremendous pain. Because I'm very, very sensitive, very, very delicate. So because I'm so sensitive, I'm allowed to do it. I saw an amazing thing. That there was a great rabbi, his name was Rav Yosef Rosen, the Rugged Shaver. The Rugged Shaver was a very brilliant man. They say that, you know, from the morning to the afternoon, he could review the whole Maseches Chulin. Mm-hmm. He knew it all by heart. He knew everything by heart. He, his book is really just citations. You know, questions asked at the top of the page, and then it's ayin, 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 ayin. Look here, look here, look here, look here, look here, look here. It doesn't even tell you what to look for. Just look, 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 look. This place, this place, this place. And he doesn't quote anything after the Rambam, you know. So just Gemaros, Shalmis, Rashi, Tosfos, and up to the Rambam, but after that, doesn't even quote the Shulchan Aruch. Just look, look, look. And just like a page, columns and columns of citations. So he also had very long hair because he said he didn't have the time to take a haircut, because if you take a haircut, he'd have to take off his yarmulke, and he wouldn't be able to learn with his yarmulke off. So his hair grew quite long because he was always busy learning, learning, learning. So when apparently when he was a mourner, he learned, even though he was a mourner. I said, how can you learn? The Torah, the Gemara says, Pikud Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, the commands of God are righteous, they make you happy. You know, a mourner is not allowed to learn Torah. He said, for me, I'm not learning for the pleasure. I'm learning not to be in pain. If I wouldn't be learning, I'd be in pain. He had a student, Rabbi Teitz, senior. Rabbi Teitz is, Rabbi Pinchas Teitz was a student of the Rugged Shaver. The Lubavitch Rebbe was also a student of the Rugged Shaver. So anyway, that was something that he used to do. He used to learn when he was a mourner because of this mission. He said, I'm like Rabbi Gamliel, I'm like other people. Other people, they learn, they enjoy it. But for me, I'd be in pain if I wouldn't be learning. So therefore, I have to learn all the time.
Why did Rabbi Teitz always tell me to cut my hair?
Maybe he was telling you to be like the Rugged Shaver.
If you were learning all the time, you could keep it.
That's right. He would have let it go. Okay, now another story about Rabbi Gamliel. Kishemes Tavi Avdo. When Tavi, his slave, you know, there were slaves, non-Jewish slaves. Jews also owned non-Jewish slaves. So Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, had a non-Jewish slave, Tavi. So when Tavi, his slave, died, Kibbul Alev Tanchumin. So he treated him like a Jew, as if it was his son who died. He went and there was a shura after the burial. They had lines walking by saying, Amakum Yinachem Eschem, he sat Shiva. He said the prayers of a mourner. Amar lo Talmidav, his student said to him, Matan Rabbeinu, but you told us our teacher, Shema Kam Tanchum El Avadim, that we don't treat the mourner as if it's a Jew. And as we'll see, there's a problem because if you act about the loss of a slave as if it's the loss of a child, people are going to think that he wasn't a slave. They'll think he was a child. And they'll start saying that his children or his relatives are Jews and they'll be marrying them. Lemmy said to them, no, ain't Tavi Avdi Kashar Kol Avadim. Tavi, my slave, was not like the other slaves. Kashar Haya, he was a great Talmud Chacham. And since he was a great Torah scholar, I'm mourning and I'm accepting consolation for the loss of the Torah that's involved in the loss of Tavi. All right, Chassan, let's say you have a groom. Im rotza likros kriyat shema. If he wants to read kriyat shema laila rishon, Korei is allowed to. Or from Shimon Gamliel, no, local rotza likros Hashem ito. Not everybody who wants to take the title of being very careful and always insisting on reading shema can do so. People are not going to concentrate. So they shouldn't do it. It's yuara. It is arrogant to imply that he can concentrate. As I've mentioned before, the halach is that since nowadays many times we read shema and we don't have kavana, therefore, even a chassan, everybody should be reading Shema, even a chassan the night he gets married. All right, says the Gemara. My time, de Rabban Gamliel. What was the reasoning of Rabbi Gamliel that he allowed himself to bathe the night after he buried his wife? So he felt that the morning, at the night after the burial, that's already just rabbinic. Because the verse which makes a biblical morning is achrisa, the end of life, is kiyomar, like the bitter day. So the day of passing itself and burial, that's where you have biblical mourning. But here already, Avelos is just Rabbanan, it's only Midrabbanan, but Makom Istinis, so here where he's such a finicky person, and be in so much pain without bathing, L'Gazru Beder Rabbanan, the rabbis didn't make their decree to prohibit him from bathing. And then we said in the Mishnah, Kishameis Tavi Avdo, Kibbalah of Tanchumen, when Tavi, his slave, died, he he accepted consolation, Tanarabbanan, Lidin Abraisa, Avadim Ushvachos, when non-Jewish slaves, male or female, pass away, Enom de Malayim Beshur, you bury them, but then you don't stand on the road to get consolation, Enom Malayim Birchas Avelin, and you don't say about them the blessing of the mourners. So this is a blessing that they used to make during the meal, during that first meal, the Sudas Havra, which people would feed him, they would feed the mourner when he's still in the street. And he wouldn't have prepared, other people would prepare for him. And the Gemara says in Ksubas, they used to say, Achenu am yukat, this is the blessing, Achenu am yugayim, our brethren who are afflicted, and mudukayim be'evil azeh, were depressed with this morning, tznu levavchem lachkor esos, pay attention to this, zos yomedes la'ah, this is what stands forever, nesivu misheshtim ebreishis, this is the path from the 6 days of creation, rabim shatu, rabim yishtu, kemishtu rishonim, kachmishtu achronim, blessing God who will comfort the mourners. So you won't say that blessing for an Eved, for a slave, nor would you take Tanchumi Avelim. You wouldn't stand in the spot where people stand after the burial for the Shura, for the road to pass by and wish you Hamakum Yenachim. However, Maisa, there was a story, the maid, the female slave of Rabbi Eliezer died. Nichnasu Talmid of Lenachmo. His students went in to try to say Amakim Yenachim, to pay a Shiva visit. Kevin Shiroz, and when he saw them, Alalalia, he ran away. He ran up to the second floor, to the attic. Aluacha, then they ran after him to the attic. Nichnaslan Pilon, so then he went into a private room. Nichnasu Achrav, they went after him to the private room. Nichnas the Traklin, then he went into the big room. Nichnasu Achrav, they went after him to the big room. He said to them, Kim Dumani, I thought that you'd be people who would get burned with warm water. In other words, I thought that if I'd hint at something to you, you'd get it. I'm running away from you. You'd get it. I'm not willing to accept comfort. Now I see that even if it's boiling hot, the hottest of the hot, you still wouldn't get burned. You're slow. You guys are thick. You're not figuring it out. You know, I'm avoiding you because it's for a female slave, so I'm not supposed to take comfort from her, consolation. Lo kach shenisi lachem, didn't I teach you? Avadim ushvachos, when there is the loss of a slave or a female slave, ein omden aleihem b'shura, we don't stand in the road to get consolation. Ein omden aleihem birchas aveilim, we wouldn't recite the blessing for the mourners. Lo tanchumi aveilim, and we wouldn't look to get consolation of mourners. But what did they say? They say, listen, they say to like a person who lost an ox or a donkey, may God fill in that which you're missing. So they say about the slaves, another braisa. Slaves, we don't eulogize them. Rabbi Yossi says, if he was a righteous slave, we do eulogize him. We say about him, Hoy ish tov v'neman, this good and loyal person, v'nenim yigiyo, who benefited from his hard work. They said to him, Im Cain, if that's what you say for the slave, my nachtalik sherim, what do you leave for righteous Jews? So therefore he disagreed. Even that he felt wasn't right to say about a slave. Okay, another lesson. We talk about what we can say, what we can't say. It's only appropriate to refer to the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as avos. But a person shouldn't refer to Yosef as an av. He shouldn't refer to Reuven as an av. He shouldn't refer to Shimon as an av. The fathers are only three. The inkarni mos el arba. We only have four mothers. That is Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So I'm going to ask, Avos, my time, am I? Why can't you refer to the Avos? Why can't you refer to Reuven as an Av or Shimon as an Av? Even Mishum lo yad inani Reuven kasi and Mishum kasi. If it's because we don't know if we came from Reuven or we came from Shimon, Iachi if so imos nami lo yad inan. The mothers also we don't know. Mirachel kasi and Mileya kasi. Right? If I don't know what Shevet I'm from, so maybe I'm from Ephraim and I'm from Rachel, or maybe I'm from Asher and I'm from Leah. So I don't even know mothers too. So how can I call Rachel my mother? Ella, the answer is like this: Ad acha chashivi till Rachel and Leah, there was a very high level of prominence. Beyond that, lo chashivi, they didn't have the same level of prominence. So therefore, you can only refer to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah as imahos. You can't refer to any other great woman, Sarah Bas Asher or Dvora. You can't refer to her as the mother of the Jewish people. They don't have the prominence of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And no one has the prominence of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So only Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov can be called avos. Now talking about slaves, Tanya, Yiddich, Linden, and Bryson. Those days, nowadays we call somebody Mr. So Mr. is from the word master. It's a prominent person. Give him honor. In those days, they used to call somebody Abba. They'd say Abba Umna, Abba the doctor. Or they'd call a woman Ima. So we have, even in Arabic, they still have this, right? Unfortunately, so Abba so-and-so. Abu, it's from father. We're in the mother also. Fachem, right? They say mother. So Tana Yidich Linden Raisa. Avadim Ushvachos, if you have non-Jewish slaves, Inkoranosan Abba Ploni Vima Plonis. You can't refer to them as Abba so-and-so or Ima so-and-so. Because that's an honorific, and they don't deserve those titles. So Rabbi Gamliel, Inkoranosan Abba Ploni Vima Plonis. Rabbi Gamliel, though, used to do that. He would call his slaves Abba so-and-so, Ima so-and-so. Ask Gemar, Maisa Lister, you have a story to prove what we just said wrong? We just said you're not supposed to do that. Rabbi Gamliel used to do it. Ask Gemar, Rabbi Gamliel used to do it. Mishum dechashivi, because they were very prominent. Because they were very prominent, and they were very deserving of honor, that's why he would call them these things. So now, for the next period.
What about if the Goy calls the Jews Abu Dawud, for example?
That's fine. No problem with that. So now we're at the two dots here on the bottom of Tezayin with Beis. The Gemara is going to teach us that many Amoraim and Tanaim would add personal prayers at the end of Shmona Esrei. And that's apparently an inspiration for us, that we should also add personal requests at the end of the Shmona Esrei. That will help us have more Kavana. Shmona Esrei is a mitzvah that the Rambam defines as Avodah Shebelev, the service of the heart. So if you're reading a text that's been composed for you, it's hard to every day, three times a day, keep feeling new ideas and new devotion within it. But if you add your own personal things, that makes it easier to feel it. And so that's what we're going to learn here, all sorts of personal additions from different Tanoim and Amorim. So now Rabbi Lazar, when he would finish the 18 blessings, Amar Achi, you would add the following personal prayer. Yiratzon lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be your will, Hashem our God, shetashkin bipureinu, that you should place in our portion, you should make reside in our lot. Ava, love, v'achva, and brotherhood, v'shalom, and peace, v'reyus, and friendship. V'tarbeg v'leinu b'talmidim, and you should increase our boundary with many students. V'tatzliach sofeinu, and let our end have success with achris, with a good ending, v'tikva, and the hope. And v'tasim chalkeinu b'gan Eden, and you should put our portion in the Garden of Eden. V'takneinu b'chaver tov, you should fix us with good friends, v'yetzer tov b'olamech, and good urges in your will. V'nashkin, we should wake up early in the morning, v'nimtza yichul levaveinu, we should find that the hope of our heart is li'ira shemecha. In other words, we should wake up in the morning and we should be hoping to fear you, not that we should be waking up in the morning hoping to do averos. With Yetzahara conquering us, the Yetzer Tov should conquer us. With Tavul of Anecha Koras Nafshin Letova, and you should take care of all of our needs, and so that we should be in a good frame of mind for goodness. Everything should be good. Rabbi Yochanan, Basin Masayim Tzlusa, when he would finish his Shmona Esrei Yom Arach, he would add the following: Yiratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be your will before you, God our Lord. Shetatzit Bevashtenu, you should look at our shame, that we are embarrassed of our sins. V'tabit b'raseinu, you should know all of our evil. You should know of our evil. It's not our fault. We have yetzara. Therefore, v'tislabish b'rachamecha, you should clothe yourself with your mercy. V'tiskasen, you should cover yourself b'uzecha, with your strength against the nations. V'tisate b'chasidusecha, you should wrap yourself in your piety. V'titazer, you should put as a belt, in your free gifts, and the attribute of your goodness should come before you, and your humility. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir, after he'd finish his prayers, he would say the following: may it be your will before you, God our Lord. That we shouldn't sin. We shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't be ashamed from our ancestors. Rabbi Chia, when he would finish his prayers, he would say the following: may it be your will, Hashem our God. Your Torah should be what we are doing. That should be our work. That should be our craft. Val yidvili beinu, and our heart shouldn't be any pain. Val yachshchu einenu, and our eyes shouldn't dim. Rav Basit Slusi Amar Hachi. Rav, after his prayers, would say the following: Yiratzon l'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may be your will, Hashem your God, our God. Shatitein lanu chayim aruchim, you should give us a long life. Chayim shel shalom, life of peace. Chayim shel tova, life of goodness. Chayim shel bracha, life of blessing. Chayim shel parnasa, life of livelihood. Chayim shel chilat tzamos, life of healthy bones. Chayim sheyesh bem yirascheit, a life of fear of sin. Chayim sheyesh bem mushar chlima, a life of no shame and embarrassment. Chayim shalosh v'chavod, a life of wealth and honor. Chayim shetebon avaster v'yirushamayim, a life of love of Torah and fear of heaven. Chayim shetumal alenas kol mashas l'bein l'tova, a life where you fulfill for us all of the requests of our heart for good. Exactly. Rabbi Basit Slusi Amarachi. Rabbi at the end of Shmona Esrei, he would say the following: may it be your will, God our Lord and the Lord of our fathers, you should save us from the brazen people, that they shouldn't start up with us, the Mechutzafim. And me'azuspanim, and save us from brazenness. People shouldn't be accusing us of being brazen. And save us, may Adam Ra, from a bad man, and we pegaran, from a bad event. May Yetzer Ra, from the bad urge, may Chaver Ra, from a bad friend, may Shachin Ra, from a bad neighbor. Umi Satan Amashchis, from the Satan that's so destructive, that destroys man, and we didn't kasha, from a difficult judgment, and we bowed in kasha, from a difficult litigant. Vein Shuven Bris, whether he's Jewish, or Vein Shuven Ben Bris, or even if he's not Jewish. We have got the Kaimi, Kutsutsi Aleid Rebbe. And even though there were soldiers that were loyal to Antoninus, and they were always there to protect Rabbi, right, from all the difficult people. They would beat them up. Right? You're starting up with Antoninus' friend. Even so, Rabbi would be davening to Hashem, save me from the bad people, from the hard people, from all the difficult things. Okay, Ezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow with more of the prayers that Tanaim and Amorayim used to say at the end of Shmona Esrei.
Thank you.
Professor, did you see this? Did you see this?
What's that?
Did you cover that?
What is this?
Covered it?
No, I don't think I had it in my Gemara.
I'm sorry?
I don't think I had it in my Gemara.
Oh, interesting.